Kia ora tātou. Welcome along to the Short Ball Rugby Pass Podcast. Scotty Stevenson and Mills Mulyaina joining you on Tuesday, 12th of the September, New Zealand time. Kia ora, Mills.
Kia ora, Sumo. I like the way you've started with the Māori Language Week.
It is. Te wiki o te reo Māori this week, Māori Language Week in New Zealand. And it's a good thing too, because we're going to chat in a little bit with Clayton McMillan, recently announced as new coach of the Māori All Blacks, Millsy, and he's a tough nut.
Yes, very. Wow, very
nut. Of course, played for Bay of Plenty all those years ago. Clayton McMillan, a centurion with the Steamers, still coaching the Steamers, coached the Provincial Barbarians this year against the British Norris Lions, and is coaching the Māori All Blacks this year after Colin Cooper stood down from the role, I'm assuming, to coach the Chiefs in Super Rugby, Mills, and you probably can't do both. So
no.
Good time to freshen up that program, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So no, looking forward to Clayton McMillan. He done a fantastic job with the provincial team, and looking forward to what he's going to offer the Maldives this year.
Well, we've got a big chat too coming up on the podcast today about the All Blacks taking on South Africa. So many issues around the All Blacks selection or potential selection. So we'll cover all the news angles from the early week and have a look forward to what we think might happen on Saturday night. And of course, the Mitre 10 Cup rolls on, and Mai Taniwha, they're going to come up again because for the second straight week, they dusted up one of your teams.
What? What? How? What?
Waikato. Did you or did you not play for Waikato?
Oh, so now...
Did you or did you not?
Before, you used to give me crap about the fact that I only played 5 games, and now all of a sudden...
Yeah, but
it's
I mean...
It's like I played 50.
It doesn't matter. Did you or did you not play for the Mulus?
Yes, I did.
Tink!
And they did clean them up, didn't they?
Yeah, they really did clean them up. Well, let's get Clayton McMillan on the line. He's in Bay of Plenty at the moment, about to head into training. But the good thing about this man is he's always available, and that's what I like about him. And I look forward to seeing what he has to say.
There you go, mate.
Kia ora, mate. How are you, Clayton?
I'm good, thanks, bud.
Now we've got Mills Mulyaina with us as well, Clayton. First of all, congratulations. What an amazing honour for you and for your whānau as well to get the job coaching the Māori All Blacks, mate. Must be a dream come true.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. It's a huge honour for... not only myself, but everyone that's supported me on my coaching journey over the last 15 years.
Clayton, I mean, going into the Māoris, obviously, there's always that talk amongst the players that, you know, getting the balance right is always pretty key. And often in the past, the balance off the field is probably, you know, lent towards the, being quite good. How do you get, with professionalism these days, how do you get that balance right, making sure that, you know, obviously they perform on the field as well?
Yeah, Mills, it's, to my knowledge, it's the second, hold the second highest ranking team in the country. And so it's about high performance, and high performance is about making sure that there is that balance between your off-field demeanour and performing well on the field. And, there's a strong tikanga base. It's what makes the Māoris unique. So, it is about getting that balance right. And from what I've observed, spending some time in with the Māoris in their preparation for British and Irish Lions, I think they're doing a really great job in that respect.
You're a slightly different coach to the old koru mate, Colin Cooper, Clates. So what will you take from his time as coach of the Māori All Blacks and take into your tenure in charge of this very famous team?
Probably just what I just talked about, Sumo. I think there's a really great balance between creating a really safe environment for people that are at different ends of the spectrum in terms of their Māori mātauranga or knowledge. So it's about each and every one of them that identify as Māori, and that they continue to grow their connection to their Māoridom. But also understanding that it's a high-performance environment, and making sure that the off-field stuff doesn't take precedence over ensuring that you perform on the field.
Clates, often can it be a challenge, waiting to see the guys that miss out on the end-of-year tour for the All Blacks, and then sort of before picking your team, often you're sort of there's guys that the All Blacks want to actually see on the Māori's calendar. That perhaps have missed. Can it be quite challenging having to wait for that the All Blacks to give you that sort of go ahead?
Yeah, well, I think with the Barbarians, if you use that as an example, we got a couple of players a couple of days before the game, so it's not something that I'm not used to. But I think it's, you know that it's going to happen, Mills. You know that you're going to get some players that are injured. You know that you're going to get late notice that players are either have made the All Blacks or are unavailable. You know, there's a number of things, and I think... you set yourself up well if you just accept that that's the way it's going to be and be prepared for those challenges.
The players have got to be aware of that too, though, don't they, Clayton? I mean, we saw during the British and Irish Lions series that, you know, the team above the Māori All Blacks wanted to see a couple of players come down and play in that game because they were looking at them closely. So it is a balance between being its team with its own identity and also ensuring that, that New Zealand rugby, by virtue of the squad available to the All Blacks, is also strong. That's where that high-performance element comes in and the versatility.
Absolutely. While we want Māori rugby, the Māori All Blacks, to be the pinnacle for all Māori players, we all know and accept and understand that the premier team in New Zealand is the All Blacks. It doesn't really matter what level of the game you're playing at. You're coached to help grow and promote your players to the next level. So if the Māori All Blacks miss out on quality players because they make the All Blacks, that's a huge positive.
Yeah, totally right. Well, Clayton, we won't keep you long, mate. We know you've got to get to training, but just give us a steer on the schedule for the year, where the Māori All Blacks will be playing and what kind of format this tour will take.
It's a bit of a moving beast at the moment, Sumo. We definitely know that we're playing in November up in Vancouver, a test match against Canada. There will be at least one other game, details of which are yet to be confirmed. But I'm meeting up with Tana and Hofty in Auckland tomorrow. Our first meeting is coaching group to get together and just get aligned in our thinking and start our preparation. A lot of work to be done over the remainder of Māori 10 Cup and ensuring that we are as prepared as we can be heading into that tour.
Oh, you're a champ, mate. Again, we congratulate you, Clayton. Thanks very much for your time. Māori All Blacks coach Clayton McMillan, and best of luck for the rest of the Steamers season too, mate.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Kia ora. Clayton McMillan, I think it's a great appointment.
Yeah.
You know, I watched him work with the Provincial Barbarians against the Lions. I was lucky enough to be invited up there the night before the game and see the boys have their jerseys presented by the Barbarians Club. And, you know, he's just such a calm presence, but he carries so much mana with him. He's a big man, for starters. Yeah. You wouldn't mess with him.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's an incredibly proud man, and you can see players respond to what he wants them to do. And that performance, let's not forget, I think was one of the most positive performances of the entire British and Irish Lions tour. I mean, it was a team of scraps.
Yeah.
And they got out there, and they almost got the most famous scalp of all. And I think a lot of that has to do with the way he and his assistant coaches, like Joe Maddock, went into that environment and just put that team together, created a culture out of nothing.
Yeah, well, you heard him then. You know, it's the approach you actually take. You either say, well, complain about the fact that you're going to get players at the last minute, or do you take the approach, well, it is what it is, and we go out there and try and do as best as we can. And certainly that provincial team were fantastic. They almost got there in the end. And you're right, Sumo, who is a very quiet man, but, you know, often you don't need to say a lot to sort of have that mana, and this guy certainly does it. So a great appointment by the NZRU, and looking forward to your trip to Vancouver.
Right, moving on to Test Match Rugby. Millsy, you were there in New Plymouth alongside Rugby Passes and Trepid reporter Jamie Wall, who was braving the elements while you were locked in a glass cage with Sir John Kerwin and Andrew Mertens and Jeff Wilson, just lording it over everyone
Mate,
else
I
at the
was
ground.
Not locked in a glass.
You were in a glass case of emotion.
I just did as I was told, you know. I just, you know, sat in where I was supposed to sit and just, yeah. But it was freezing. Man, it was cold.
It was cold in New Plymouth in winter. I keep telling everyone that. Why would you move there? Paradise, though, as it was, not exactly paradise for our boy Damien McKenzie at the back. It's interesting for me. It's a 17-point victory. But and we're all guilty of it because we have high expectations for the way the All Blacks played. And on this very podcast last week, I think we were both in agreement that Argentina should have their faces melted by that All Black team. Wasn't to be.
No.
So you're looking around and starting to ask yourself reasons why. Damien McKenzie's come under fire over the last couple of days for his work under the high ball. But those conditions were trying. You're a man who's taken a few bombs in your time, Millsy. I mean, Should we be pointing the finger at Damien McKenzie, or is there a lot more to it than just his inability to take two or three high kicks in a second half?
Oh, look, I think he's fantastic. He's shown how good he is under the high ball. Unfortunately, in the weekend, he didn't quite nail those opportunities. On looking on it, well, being at the game, I just felt he was a little bit deep, and perhaps that was sort of to judge what the wind was doing, give him some time to get up, because he is a shorter man. But he certainly started the game very well. But there are other aspects, I thought, of the All Blacks game that were ineffective, particularly the breakdown, and they didn't give guys like TJ Pitanata the ability to clear that ball fast. So you can't just put it down to, you know, Damien not taking those three or four balls. Unfortunately, given the team that they're playing this weekend, they will send a lot up. And so, you know, what do they do? Do they put Bowden back there? Lima Sopoanga, for me, you know, was very instrumental in getting a little bit of structure back in the game. And he did that also in the Dunedin Test match. So, you know, whereas Bowden,
there's a lot of oil about that. The interesting thing about Bowden Barrett in the game, he carries more than any other player in the Rugby Championship, has done. He's made more carries than any player in the Rugby Championship this year.
Yeah.
I don't know what position he's playing.
Yeah, I mean,
I truly don't. It's all very well because, you know, the All Blacks love to innovate and they love to use Bowden Barrett in certain ways because he has an amazing skill set.
Yeah.
He will score tries, will try things. Look, there's no question about how wonderful he is as a rugby player. Mm. But I've just got to the point where I'm starting to wonder, I mean, is this a team that feels as if they're entitled to play a certain way, and how dare anyone try and stop them, and then showing frustration when they're not allowed to play the way they want to play?
Mm. Yeah, well, I think that's it. I think, yeah, I mean, a lot's come out now. Some of the players have said, you know, they've got to realign themselves outside Bowden. But again, we're not questioning his ability and being able to. What we're actually saying is perhaps he needs to read things a bit better. He doesn't have to be flashy all the time. If he just sits and notices the fact that there is a rush D, or and take a couple of steps back and realign his whole forward pack and talk to him about it, that's probably the bit in his game that's probably lacking at the moment. And you know, do the All Blacks revert to putting him to the back, you know?
I'm not going to endorse that point of view, right, about that maybe Bowden Barrett should go back to fullback.
Yeah.
I'm not here to do that because that's up for other people to decide. But I think it's a legitimate question. This guy made his name as the impact player, most often coming in as fullback, and turning a game on its head.
Yeah.
Yes, I know he wants to play 10. Yes, I know he's playing 10. Yes, I know you have to keep a player's confidence and back that player's ability. And the All Blacks have shown that over a long period of time with a range of different players.
Yeah.
What's wrong with him playing fullback? Why can't a guy ever go back? I mean, is that an admission that he's failed? I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
The All Blacks always talk about horses for courses. That's why Vaia Fifita started last week and won't start this week. Mm. Surely they go back to a big boy like Squire.
Yeah, yeah.
But why can't we have a horse for course situation? If Bowden Barrett is going to be better at fullback for the team, why not give it a crack?
Well, I mean, that's often what they talk about in the past, isn't it? It's what's best for the team. And, you know, that, I suppose it's down to the powers that be. You know, do they decide to put him back there? He's, you know, take a little bit of pressure off him. You know, I actually think he's plateaued a little bit. So why not take a bit of pressure off him, put him at the back there and let him, you know, run right and get his confidence back, you know, and let Lima's come into some great form. So let the responsibility be on him to actually set up the team and things like that. And
you remember when he started a test at South Africa at Ellis Park?
Yeah, I mean, fantastic, wasn't he?
Fairly handy.
Yeah.
Fairly handy. Look, it's not a case of dropping Bowden Barrett or Bowden Barrett's suddenly turned to custard. He hasn't. It's not that at all. But there is a real rush in what the All Blacks are trying to do right now. And I know they want to play tempo, and their stats show that. I mean, they are scoring points as a result.
Mm.
Far more tries than anyone else in this competition, certainly more than South Africa. Far more points than anyone else in this competition. They're making far more metres than anyone else in this competition. But I think Saturday should have been a real wake-up call. They put up stats in that game that would suggest to someone who hadn't seen the game that the All Blacks won by 40 points.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And yet they didn't.
They struggled for about 60 minutes.
They were behind.
Yeah.
And this is the funny thing about those numbers. You know, when you talk about carries and ball running meters and the lack of a kicking game again against Argentina, which I thought was weird given the conditions, that they are putting up those kind of stats but not getting the results accordingly.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think the higher tempo game they're actually trying to play is probably, particularly in the early stages of the game, is probably hurting them a bit. You're seeing guys that are, and I think they would have addressed this, I think you're seeing guys that are getting to the breakdown. It's the first decision maker. He's getting there and he's sometimes parking over the ball, or he's thinking, well, do I actually pick it up and move it? And that's where the Argentinians got in there. You know, they were beaten over the gain line, but they were allowed to actually, you know, slow the All Blacks ball down, actually pick some off, get into TJ Perenara, and then the flow just died down. And when you're letting teams like that disrupt you and are in the game for 60 minutes, I think that's the concerning part, is that you don't want, let's just say the South Africans are in there for 60, 70 odd minutes. You know, they can easily, you know, would easily sort of put the All Blacks away if that happens.
How many of those results against South Africa, the losses in the last 10 years, have come in the 78th minute with a breakaway try? Something special happens. I remember Ricky January and Dunedin, and that famous test win.
Yeah.
Those sorts of things. It's funny when you look at the numbers too. South Africa is a team that loves to have the ball. Mm. Both the All Blacks and South Africa have more possession in the game than any of the other two teams, Australia and Argentina, 17 minutes plus each in the game. But New Zealand does twice as much with it.
Yeah,
I'm starting to wonder what South Africa do with the ball. Because they play the game at a slower pace. There's no doubt about that. And you cannot have the ball for the same amount of time and do that much less unless you're doing it really slowly.
Yeah, well, they obviously feel the need to hold on to the ball. They've got big players and they know that if they can just, you know, keep it in a small area.
Yeah, I know, but they're not carrying as much, so they're not making as many carries.
Yeah.
So either they're carrying in slow motion or they're just holding it at the breakdown and frustrating teams by virtue of the fact we're just not going to give you the ball. We're not going to do much about it ourselves. Here's a number for you. 605 metres per game for the All Blacks, running metres. 380 for the South Africans. And yet they have the ball for the same amount of time.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is weird.
So what you're basically saying is if the All Blacks kick to them, just get up and D and just sort of wait and don't get frustrated.
Should we go semi-final of the 2015 Rugby World Cup? That's exactly what they did to them.
Yeah.
That is exactly what they did to them. What did they say to South Africa in that 2015 Rugby World Cup semi-final? They said, you guys ain't got any chance of scoring from your own 22. So that's where we're going to put you all game.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing wrong with playing that style against the box. 27 kicks per game for the Springboks, 14 for the All Blacks. Mm-hmm. I think that number has to come up somewhere towards what the Springboks do.
Yeah.
The All Blacks 3-4 years ago were the best kick and chase team in the comp.
Mm.
And I haven't seen deep kicks. I haven't seen that chase game the way we used to see them play.
Yeah, well, it's just turning that momentum around, like being able to say, well, okay, we've gotten over the game line, and it's trying to come up with that sort of, difference. Do you hold on to the ball and feel you've cracked them, or do you mix it up and say, well, let's just put it in the corner and hopefully they might kick it out and let's start again and build some different pressure? And I think that's the variety the All Blacks have got to bring. They've got to bring a little bit of something different rather than saying, okay, let's just in that. But in saying that, they also are sort of cracking teams. So it's the balance, you know. How do you get it right?
That's what's frustrating me about talk about the All Blacks at the moment, because you don't know whether to say congratulations, you're winning games, or what are you up to?
Mm.
And maybe Courtney Laws, who came out this week and said into one of the papers, you know, All Blacks fans' arrogance was the thing that spurred us on most. Maybe we've got too carried away. Maybe our search for perfection from this team is blinding us to the reality of international rugby, that it's actually really tough to go out there and win, no matter how advanced you think your game plan is or how much better your style is than anyone else's. There's still 15, 23 blokes on the other side who don't want you to play that way.
No, they don't. They don't want you to play that way.
And they legitimately have a right to be that way.
Oh, absolutely. And if you think of anyone that plays the All Blacks, you know, Argentina, you know, for instance, in the weekend, they're going to get up every single time. You know, there's no lack of motivation to actually, you know, try and beat the All Blacks or be competitive. So maybe we are, Sumo. I don't know. One thing that I know is that aren't we grateful to have guys like Fifita?
Well, we are. Well, we are. Jerome Kainal coming back into the camp this week as well, so that's an extra Lucy. Now, here's the thing with Fifita. He's obviously overnight become a global sensation, and why wouldn't you after
exactly,
that run?
Exactly.
Let's forget the comparisons to others for the time being, because Vaia is Vaia, and good on him for doing it. But surely they can't now leave him out of this game. And if they put him on the bench, what does that mean for their mix? Because they're not going to be able to take a lock. So that's a lock that misses out. If you put Sam Kane to start, which I think they will, Artie Savia to cover on the bench, and Vaia Fifita, who, how can you leave out after that performance, as your sixth lock, whatever, cover?
Yeah.
Shit, he'll cover the wing if you wish. Like, why not? I mean, does he become the greatest bench player in the All Blacks arsenal?
Well, the way he's playing, you'd say, I think Squire comes back. You know, I think Jerome's back in the mix.
Well, no, I'm with you on Squire. You can't throw Jerome in the mix of this week.
No, you don't. So I think based on what Fifita did in the weekend, both attack and defence, he'd have to be the impact player that comes off the bench. I mean, he's predominantly a lock, isn't that where he's sort of used to playing? So,
I'll go through a list of names here. These are the names he outran on the weekend across the competition. He outran Israel Folau. He outran Reece Hodge. He outran Nihi Milne-Scudder. He outran Jan Serfontein. He outran Sonny Bill Williams. He was the leading ball runner in the rugby championship over the weekend. 113 metres.
Well, and 50 or 40 of that was just for that one try.
Yeah,
damn it.
I know, but he's still top 10 in carries in the comp, across that game. So, you've got to give the guy credit. He went out there and he did something quite extraordinary. Yeah. 100 plus metres for a loose forward in the game is extraordinary, I think.
Yeah. And the other metres that he got was that try that was forward. So he was very effective. But you have to, man. We're sitting here sort of dissecting the game, but the talent that we've got coming out of New Zealand rugby, damn.
He beat 11 defenders.
And they all had the angle on him.
He beat 11 defenders. That's five more than Bowden Barrett, who was ranked second after weekend with six defenders beaten. I mean, he's a freaking six.
Man,
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But anyway, today I understand he was in a tracksuit. He wasn't warming up with the team. So, whether they're going to keep their powder dry, which wouldn't surprise me with the All Blacks. Mm. They don't want anyone to get ahead of themselves, and fair enough. But it's hard to see what they're going to do. I mean, South Africa's major weapon is their line-out. Mm. So you're going to need line-out cover. Mm. Are you going to risk not taking an extra lock at line-out time and putting Vaia Fifita in there as some sort of lock 6-7 super sub?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you take Fifita out, well, who do you put there? I mean, who's your lock? Who's your lock? I mean, you got...
Back to Romano. I thought Luke Romano was outstanding.
Yeah, he was. He carried the ball well, and he was... he's very good, but
you chuck Whitelock and Retallick back in there together.
Yeah,
because you've now lost two of your first choice front rowers. In fact, you've lost both. Mm. Your loosehead and tighthead first choice front rowers. So Laulala's going to start. Obviously, they'll put Wyatt Crockett in there to start. That's a rare start for the Croczilla.
Yeah,
you're going to need a locking combination that knows what they're doing.
They've also used Barrett. So I mean, coming off the bench. So I mean, he throws the spanner in the works in there as well. So plenty of options, man.
I know, but that's what I mean. I just think you don't want to get too tricky against South Africa.
No. Well,
you know what this is going to be. This is going to be attritional. You're going to have to win your ball at the breakdown. You're going to have to get some guys there to thump it up.
Yeah.
The one thing they didn't do, you notice on the weekend, they didn't run the pod system like they have been doing.
Pods? Oh yes, that's fair. Well, they got over the gain line so easily.
Well, that's true.
And then they kind of, I suppose, got out of sync when guys weren't making good decisions at the breakdown, which perhaps sort of, and then they chose to go a little bit wider as well. So perhaps they're going to bring that back in with South Africa, a little bit more structure.
Well, I hope so. I mean, it's a team that wins turnovers too. The other thing about South Africa, they know that the kick return is a New Zealand specialty, so they're going to have to be careful on their kicks and play as well. Alton Yankees came under some heat from his home fans last week, saying stop kicking the ball away in that draw against Australia. I think it's a pretty good draw, really. They had to fight back into that game. Australia had a lot riding on it. I thought South Africa should win that game. Should have won that game.
Well, I thought they were going to, and I thought they were going to do it easily with Australians going up early, to claw their way back into the game and draw. I suppose it was a pretty good draw. A lot's coming out of the South African camp now that they're trying to change their culture, or they've changed their culture. So obviously they're happy campers.
I think that's obvious. Last year was rock bottom for them.
Mm.
They looked disconnected. They looked disinterested. They certainly don't look that way this year.
No.
They look happy. I speak to Matt Pearce, the lead commentator for Supersport. He spends a lot of time around these players. He said even during that June series, the smiles had returned to the team.
Yeah.
And Alistair Coetzee getting Brendan Venter involved, I think, has made a hell of a difference to the organisation of that team and what they're trying to achieve. So they'll be tough here.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see, the connection they have with the Super Rugby coaches and things like that, because often that's been pretty disjointed.
Yeah.
And and as we know, a lot of us don't know New Zealand. They have to pick on race as well. So there's, you know, there's all those challenges that the Springboks do have, and yet this year they're looking, very happy.
There's a quota system in place here. Just another challenge for the Springboks. One they'll be happy to overcome. That game, of course, this weekend at QBE Stadium in Albany. Just a quick note on that, on the short ball with Mills Muliena and Scotty Stevenson. Albany as a venue for this test. I understand you've got to share the love around when it comes to All Black rugby. New Plymouth got their chance last week, but should this be an All Blacks South Africa blockbuster Eden Park home of New Zealand rugby?
Or are you going to be a lot of unhappy people if you call that the home of New Zealand rugby?
Well, it is. It's the home of All Black rugby. It's the biggest stadium. It's our national stadium. We're as close as we got to one, and it's where the All Blacks have not been beaten for 600 years.
Personally, it would have been nice for it to be at Eden Park, but as you say, you share it around. Eden Park's had two test matches this year with the Lions. I mean, or do we revert to what they do overseas?
Play every test at the same ground.
Yes.
Not sure. Don't think that'd go down too well with the regions, but just throwing it out there. It's an interesting selection, because regardless of what you say about, grounds and it's just a field, it's never just a field in rugby, or in any sport for that matter. No. Eden Park carries with it a fear factor that QBE Stadium does not hold for South Africa.
No. And as a player, you're almost thinking it's a joint home game, right? Rather than if you go into Eden Park, you know that's home. You know it's and what it brings and how special it is there. So, but we'll see how we go. I'm hoping we get a big crowd. I'm sure we will, considering the way North Harbour rugby is going at the moment. Sumo?
North Harbour's going good. But North Harbour's run is going to come to an end on Thursday night this week when they take on the Taniwha. I can assure you of that.
How good is that for Blues rugby, though?
The Taniwha are great. North Harbour are great. Yeah. One of these things is not like the other. That's the other team that we shall not talk about. I tell you what. Mate, they got more trouble than the early settlers, this Auckland side. Yeah. Because I don't know what's going on here. I truly don't. We spoke about this, 3 weeks ago on the pod?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I didn't see the game, but...
I did.
Because, but...
Jerome Kano carried 16 times in the game, in his comeback game, and they still lost. Yeah. And we'll move on to more positive things, which is Canterbury put the Ranfurly Shield up again on Wednesday night. Third First Division challenge this year against Counties Monaco. I can't see anyone beating Canterbury, but Counties are that kind of team that just give them a sniff and
they are, right? And they've had six days to actually
Think about life. Right. About life. Remember, Canterbury played on Friday, so they've had a 4-day turnaround. So, ultimately, Canterbury are so far ahead of anyone else in this competition, it's ridiculous. Yep. But it is the Ranfurly Shield. Do you give Counties Monaco any chance at all?
I think you do. I think they showed enough in their last game. I mean, they could have won that game, and they made a couple of, bad decisions at the back, which probably cost them the game a little bit, just weren't prepared to actually, be a little bit patient and had a crack, and then all of a sudden Harbour turned it over. And so if they can sort of, wipe that sort of stuff out of their game and go down there, it's a Ranfurly Shield, They've got, and they've got plenty of good players to be able to take it. So I do give them a chance. But Canterbury are good.
It'd be great. Counties Monaco win the Ranfurly Shield on Wednesday against Canterbury.
Yeah.
And then they put it up in their first challenge on the 1st of October. You'll never guess who they have to play in their first defence. You'll never guess.
Not
in a million years will you guess that it's the Taniwha.
Hey.
See, I love that team. Can we talk about them? In all seriousness, can we talk about how awesome Northland are?
Well, you have to. I mean... Waikato were they were looking the goods.
They were deer in the headlights.
Weren't they?
Wowee.
Yeah, I mean, Darren Whitcomb's is doing some really good stuff up north, so you have to talk about them. They're contenders.
They are contenders. I like it. The second just behind Wellington in the Mitre 10 Cup Championship. Wellington going down to their first loss. Third game in 11 days. Tasman have got some sort of draw here, by the way. Do you know they play three teams on Sundays after that other team has had two straight games in the Storm?
Yeah.
Someone is loving the Tasman draw this year. Honestly, they have fed them something, some scallops, some mussels. Get into it. Give us an easy draw. They were good for their win, though. Wellington, you know, scoring 105-metre tries in the game. But Tasman ultimately, something flicked for them. Some switch was flicked in about 20 minutes to go where they just went back to playing traditional footy. And yeah. I think the legs just went out from underneath the Wellingtonians.
Well, I think it even started the game before where they played Waikato and they beat them away. So it gave them a bit of confidence. I mean, we were sitting here a couple of weeks ago thinking, what's going on at Tasman?
Mm.
Now they've, you know, gotten two wins.
Two straight.
They're looking pretty good.
Yeah, they are looking pretty good. I mean, they've got some challenges here. They've got to go down to Otago this week and face Otago, who were pretty good for a win over Hawke's Bay. Their first win, can you believe this? Otago's first win against Hawke's Bay in Hawke's Bay since 1993.
Serious?
Seriously.
Oh, I didn't know that. Gee.
Happy days, Otago.
Yeah. Hey.
We round out the week, and this is a game I'm looking forward to, because I think this is going to give the best indication we have had yet of where Wellington really is at. And that's the last game of the round, Wellington at home against Canterbury. If Wellington can recover from that loss, and they've got all week to do so against Tasman, and get up there for Canterbury, that is, to me, going to give me the greatest indication yet that either Chris Gibbs has definitely turned this team around.
Yeah.
Or that there is still some work to do. And I know that's a hard mark against the Canterbury team that I've just said is a mile ahead of anyone else. But, gee, if Wellington could win that, you'd make believers out of anyone.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you're absolutely right. It gives us a good gauge on where, you know, Gibbo's got this team. Because they certainly started off well, you know, Canterbury. You know, they're the benchmark. And if they can get up and being at home, they can. So that'll give us a fair indication about where they're at.
Feast of footy, Mills. We'll leave it there. That's the short ball for another week. All Black Rugby coming up this week. The rest of the Rugby Championship continues. Of course, all the rugby out of Europe as well. And so much more besides. All on rugbypass.com. Make sure you subscribe today.